Hello, welcome. This is your last session of the talks, so it'll be entertaining, thrilling, exciting, or at least a little bit informative. My name is Harvey Elliott. I'm the CEO of Marmalade Technologies. I'll describe what Marmalade are and what we do, but I'm really here to talk to you about the wearables market and how Tizen could be a very compelling part of that market, and actually already is with the Gear 2, and just give you some information around how we think that market is going to evolve. I'll be joined by my senior engineer, Andrew Parker, who's going to talk about what the Marmalade SDK does and also answer the more complicated technical questions that all of you very smart people are going to ask. So first off, I should probably tell you what Marmalade is, and that will hopefully help. So Marmalade is a cross-platform SDK. It's incredibly powerful. It gives native performance on every device. And developers can use it to create games and apps for every mobile connected platform. And our message is native performance on any device. We typically run as a C++ architecture, but we do have support for Objective-C if you're coming over from the Apple world, as well as HTML5 and Lua. So it's an open and flexible abstraction layer as opposed to a complex game engine. What that really means is if you have a single code base, let's say in this case C++, it opens up in your existing Visual Studio environment or in Xcode, and you deploy to the Marmalade layer. Marmalade then helps you target that to every device, and we have support for every device that's relevant, and I'll show you a slide on that in a second. But you maintain that one code base, and you have complete flexibility about where you take it. Okay, and at its core, it's not an engine. You should have game engines, and we have game engines within the SDK that you're welcome to use. But what we're trying to do is keep the tool as flexible and as varied as possible and give you only the tech you need to deploy your game as opposed to pile in a whole load of technology that sits in the SDK that you don't need. It's all there, it's all available, but you very much opt into what you want to use as opposed to just use everything that we provide. So how fast is it? Well, this is a survey. It came out just at the beginning of last week, and Research to Guidance ran a report with developers across the world and asked them how fast is your SDK. And we came out top. 88% of the Marmalade developers get native performance or better through our tooling and our SDK than any other cross-platform tool. And this survey went on to study 150 cross-platform SDKs. I never knew our market was so crowded. I'm glad to be at the top of the pile on this one. So the market is hugely fragmented. We all know this. We're all developing games or apps or content for the mobile space. And essentially, as you start to look at some of the bubbles within this, so this is what I call our where to map. We obviously target iOS, so you can get to iPhone, iPad, you can target Mac desktop. In the Windows 8 world, we support Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 8.1, Windows Store, and Windows Desktop. BlackBerry, we support Playbook and BlackBerry 10, all the BlackBerry 10, Q5s, Q10s, all the other series of devices. We support Android, and that's x86, ARM, and MIPS architecture. And we're about native performance, so we care very much about the architecture that sits inside the devices. We don't have a virtual machine that runs, so we target the hardware through our SDK. But that is obviously the Android market is very slightly fragmented within itself, and we solve quite a lot within the SDK in getting people to thousands and thousands of different devices. And then within Tizen, we have full support for Tizen for both x86 and ARM architecture. It's what we call our level 4 support. That's pretty much everything fully featured. And it supports the phone formats. It supports TV format. And we obviously have connections into the smartwatch devices as well. And then outside of the mobile devices, we have a lot of support for other TV devices. So I've mentioned Tizen. We already support the LG Smart TV platform. We support the Android and Google TV standards, and I interchange the words Android and Google slightly liberally between those. But that includes the derivative Android devices like a GameStick or an Ouya, where they've taken an Android implementation and focused it, or the Amazon Fire TV, as well as anything that runs the Android systems as standard. And we also support the Roku series of set-top boxes, Roku 2, Roku 3, Streaming Stick, and so on. And all of that from a single code base. So from a developer's perspective, it's hopefully made a lot easier. You develop within Marmalade, you develop within your normal IDE with a single code base, and then you just choose your deployment options of the markets you want to go to. And if at any time you want to target a new platform, tick the box and hit deploy, and you're up and running. And almost certainly there will be a few things you want to adjust specifically, you know, if they've moved a home button or a back button or a specific UI change that they have for that platform. But for the most part, you can just deploy your code that you have and keep one code base across everything. And actually, as we come onto the wearable space and talk about this a little bit more, I can see a similar picture for us supporting wearable devices, of which there are already 250 different devices available. And we can help support that so we can abstract some of the features from the devices and hopefully make it a little easier for you and developers around the world to use wearables as part of your products. As a games tool, and we've predominantly been a games tool to date, although we do have a reasonably large number of enterprise applications from mobile banking to fitness to health to database to remote desktop to security and even a sat-nav for light aircraft pilots, of which I know one ever. But they use the SDK because it's a C++ powerful framework. They can use it for games and apps. And this is just a smattering of titles that we've seen made with Marmalade from our community. So let's talk about the wearables market and where I think it is. And this is my view with a little bit of help from the team from our offices in London and Sunnyvale. So obviously, we know that wearables is a key market. We can see it's growing. And every indication is it will become a key consumer technology during this year. The anticipation is by the end of this year, there will be 90 million devices in the market. That's from ABI Research. And very specifically in smartband, which is relatively light in the wearable space at the moment, with predicted 8 million this year. That will grow to almost 45 million by the end of 2017. So there's a huge market, and smartband's quite important because that's an input device. It doesn't communicate back directly. It needs something else to communicate with you. And I think if you're looking at app development, you need to make sure you can bring those features to where your content sits, which may not be in the smart device itself. So, we have 250, actually just over 250 devices already on the market across stacks and stacks of categories. And we've just grouped them together into a few here, so lifestyle, gaming, industrial, entertainment, medical, and fitness. And probably the crossover between entertainment, gaming, and fitness is much tighter than perhaps lifestyle, medical, and industrial. We're expecting that people with fitness sensors and fitness bands can also use those as an input method into games or use them as part of game content. And I have a few examples of how these sorts of sensors could come into games and gaming. And obviously, devices that have an entertainment feedback system of some description within them is obviously a channel you can use to put your content out through. A couple of other things. So this you won't be able to read. I can barely read it from here. These are all the different things that these devices can currently do, from accelerometers, clocks, touch interface, heart rate monitors, magnometer, depth cameras, right down to motor, backlight, perspiration monitors, I think a CO2 canister, which is available in two devices, you'd be pleased to know, a skin impedance sensor, and a hygrometer. No idea, sorry. But I do know is if you look at the top three, so the top three, which is accelerometer, clock, and touch interface, represents 42% of the components that are common. So actually, if you build in support within your application, say you've got an application on a phone or a device, if you built in support for a remote version of an accelerometer, you're using some kind of time-based thing, which may be when people are off out recording data, come back and use that to input into your app, or just have as an interface system through a touch interface, 42% commonality there, which is pretty high. And so just by picking those three features alone, using something like Marmalade to abstract those and let you target them across multiple devices, so don't worry about the 250 devices out there that use it, but have a system that helps target those, you've already got great coverage into wearable space. And then you could pick other categories you think are important and then enhance the experience further by supporting those. My recommendation would be not to make that a fundamental part of your experience, that you have a hygrometer or an altimeter, which is still quite useful, because you'll start to limit in your world. And I was talking to a couple of people before. I've been in the games industry a fair amount of time, and when I'm not running Marmalade, I'm also chair of the BAFTA Games Committee, so in the UK, heading up the BAFTA Games Awards, and I've done that for a number of years. And so I've seen a whole host of things coming through the gaming space and gaming development and gaming innovations, and I was reminded of the Sega Mega Drive system, which was from the 1990s, I can't remember how many they built, but it was a 16-bit games console with cartridges, and hopefully a lot of you remember it. You may also remember the Mega CD, which was a device that you plug into the Mega Drive, and it allowed you to use CD-ROM storage, so you got an extra 500 megabytes of storage. Imagine those heady days. You could then get the Mega Drive 32X, which was a 32-bit processing unit. You sit on top of your Mega Drive component. And you could also buy the Sega Menacer light gun, which you'd use as either a rifle form or a pistol form to shoot at things on your screen. And I was at Acclaim Entertainment when this all came out, and they had the really clever idea of coming up with a game that used all four of those devices in complete perfect harmony. What they didn't really realize is that by making it work with the 32X, the Mega CD, the Menacer light gun, and of course the Mega Drive that everyone had, they limited their total addressable market down to 32,000 units. And I think they sold about 3 units. There's an awful lot of features here, and that's probably the most exciting part of the world, and the reason you're in this conference, and perhaps the one on the other side of town, is this space is new and it's innovative, and there's a load of stuff happening in it that makes it exciting to be part of, and that's fantastic. And that passion that you'll have needs to be channeled into your experiences and brought to bear in this market. Just don't tick every box of every feature and make that a mandatory requirement for the game or experience that you're building, because you will only get your copy to be the one that's used, and not maybe a friend may have all the same things as you. But if you make that a limitation, then obviously you'll be restricted. And instead, what you need to do is make your app work across as many of the experiences as you can. And maybe it can't do everything on every device, but maybe you can use these devices to help contribute to a core experience that when people are out with their wearables or out doing something while their phone is in their pocket, but you're gathering data, use that to input or create an experience. When they come back to their core device, they can say, oh, wow, I've done something new or something special. And gamers and people in gaming love achievement, no matter what the achievement is. And actually, some are going to be really hard, very skill-based, very specific things. But even the very mundane, grind-based things, walking, breathing, difficult things that we all have to get through, if they can add to your game experience and make your game better, then there's a reason to carry on breathing and walking and being exciting. And so for me, as much about getting to as many devices as possible is about channeling that all back to make a core experience richer and better and stronger. So obviously we're seeing these devices, and they're seeing them being used, and things like Google Glass are coming out, and surgeons are using them to improve the efficiency of their surgical procedures, remembering which of the ventricles to cut and which one to leave open, and maybe a little tag of all the things they've left inside the body as they've been doing the operation and removing them, and that's great. And then obviously things like the Mimu glove, which is using music as a musical instrument. So we're seeing some really diverse, innovative experiences, and that's really excellent. As you come to your experience, you need to think about what you can actually, well, bring into an experience that you'll feel proud of. I think a lot of the people in this room will care as much about content as making a business out of it, but equally, you'll want to get some form of reward out at the end of this so that you know your time's been well spent, even if it just allowed you to pay your bills and cover your rent and basically, you know, to buy some food. But you do need to make sure your innovation is channeled towards a market and a market opportunity, even if it's just, you know, a small target market you have in mind. So let's talk about gaming apps and how they could work with wearables and use a little bit of the gaming brain I have. Obviously, people want to be able to access their games all the time. They want to be able to connect to a world where gaming data, gaming activity is always there, always rich, always vibrant. And we know that adding that a sensor experience or some kind of data capture experience through a wearable or through other device will expand the non-playtime into playtime. So just simple things. You know, this is our office in the UK with a Google map around it. We put a sensor on somebody and just track them as they went around the building. If you remember back before the 1990s, probably in the very mid-80s, there was a game called Painter. You had a grid and you drew a line around it, and when you covered that grid, it colored it in. What if there was a game that reset the map and it just took every street, and if you colored a block, you get that block and you gain it and you've won it, and you could have a whole game across everyone in this room. We could go out around San Francisco, maybe if we did the 6:30 run yesterday morning, which I was certainly there for. You could run and get around the block and gain that space, and you have a territorial achievement from it. And it's really simple. You're just tracking a little bit of geo, a little bit of movement. You could tell you something around space, a little territory game based on just a bit of navigation. Other things they can do, you know, just simple things like a sensor, obviously a heart monitor, fantastic. If you're doing any kind of game of stress or test, whether it's a test of wills, of fit, you know, you're doing something like poker or you're playing a game like Guess Who. You know, you want to know whether someone's telling you the truth or not. You know, a little bit of sensory detection, what their pulse is doing, heart rate's quickening, well, they're lying, there's something happening. You can add that into a game experience that helps connect you more to the player. Perhaps you're playing an adventure experience, you're playing as a central character, you're putting the character in a tense moment. If we can get some tension from you as a player, perhaps that would channel, we could channel an adrenaline level in the game experience just by tracking that. So the experiences would sit quite nicely together. You might be playing a board game or a strategic game where you've got data in front of you and you're playing it on a large tablet or you're playing on a PC or a smart TV. There's always data you want to keep for yourself or something the game might want to sell someone. And so having that on a wearable and you can bring up your data and just see quickly what you've got and what your data is and you know that and you can share that when you want to with the room. I think there's a really nice way to add enhancements to the game. The game's still the game. The core game on the tablet or the TV could be the same experience, but the enhancements through a wearable, adding in things like that emotion or adding in that additional input method or additional data display, I think could be very, very powerful. And I think we can also create game experiences that create the world of the movies where you know they can hack into things in 3 seconds flat and get billions of pounds in their bank account and outrun. You know, we can build those games. We can build that as a life experience we could all enjoy, outrunning random things that just happen. We track where everyone else's sensors are. You create swarm information around where people are around the city. You can just tag a number of those saying, right, you're an enemy. You're tagged, your smartwatch, your phone is telling you you're an enemy. You're a bad person. Your job is to find all the good people and vice versa. And you could create a game that exists in the physical world where people are channeling and perhaps trying to home close someone down. We need to keep it to a reasonable level of proximity so we don't have real world people starting fights because their smartwatch told them to. But we should be able to do something that creates a game experience where we all fall integrated into an experience that doesn't exist much beyond the game we physically play but has enhancement from it. Things like, you know, Crackers has a new game called Watchdog coming, high-end console game, looks fantastic, taking over people's equipment as you navigate the world. Well, we can do that in a virtual space with the devices we're carrying in our pockets or wearing on our wrists. And so adding that emotional engagement in can, I think, be very, very compelling. So where's this all going to go? Well, I don't know, and hopefully none of you know yet, because if we knew, the space wouldn't be as exciting. But we do think that the more you have, the more you connect, and the more you connect your various devices together, the stronger the reward can be for a player or just a person experiencing an app. I think we have to recognize that the fact there are 250 wearables so far, there will be thousands of wearables by the end of the year, and there'll be tens of thousands of individual wearables within the next few years. Trying to pick out the speciality of that device, recognizing what that brings to the ecosystem, but without corrupting ourselves so that we only need that one specific wearable and therefore create the mega CD32X environment. If we can harness those specialities, I think the experiences will become much richer. I've slowed my purchase on mobile phones. I haven't bought as many phones as I used to buy. I used to change phones every 3, 4, 5 months, and my phone is almost 2 years old. And that's because there are other things that I can use around it that makes that experience work. And actually, it's not just the phone that matters now. It's how it connects to the other things in my life. I will change my phone, don't worry. But I think there's an opportunity to do more with devices adding on to your experience that you're playing as it is today. And the communication between these devices will help trade non-personal data, gaming data, or just sensor information that can all make an experience richer. I've talked about the idea of gathering territory or us going to win San Francisco and getting that achievement for ourselves. You could do other game experiences with spreading a virus. If I can be in proximity with any of you, it's a virtual virus, don't worry. It's not a real virus, it's a virtual virus. So it's one where we can just say, this is the virus, it's a single code, and I recognize it's spread, and see how quickly it spreads around a location, and creating challenge around that. And adding persistence into the mundane, the things that you do every day and perhaps hate, if your daily commute is a long particular journey, and there was something you could do that just added a little bit of fun knowing I've just infected that person. Tag. Maybe that's something that could really add an experience that just helps add a little bit of entertainment and life into people's worlds. So opportunities, I think, are rife, really ripe, and something we can really all go chase down. Challenges. Well, I'm going to hand you over to Andrew Parker because he's an engineer and has the slightly more balanced view. So I'll let Andrew describe this and I'll come back up in a short while.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not sure about Valence view. We'll see. I'll let you be the judge of that. So hello, I'm Andrew, as Harvey said. I'm an engineer at Marmalade. So I'm going to talk to you. It's fairly high level. Don't worry about it. We're getting close to lunch. No one's brain's working anymore. I can't even put a piece of paper on a stand. So what am I going to talk about? Well, a while ago, Harvey asked me the question of what challenges I saw ahead for developers with the wearable market. And I sent a long ranty email, and I was thinking about this from the point of view as an engineer at Marmalade, like, well, we're going to have to deal with all this. So I sent lots of points, and anyway, two things came clear from that email. And the first was, all the challenges that we're going to face are exactly the same challenges that you have to face. And the point is that we're supposed to get rid of all the headaches for you. And the second thing I realized is, don't answer emails too quickly, or you'll end up here, having to give a talk in front of people. So I've learned two lessons there. So what are the challenges? Well, the first thing isn't a challenge, it's just a statement. The market's going to grow dramatically. We've already seen there are 250-plus devices on the market. That's just going to get worse. So how's it going to affect you? Well, the mobile market's fairly mature now. You know, you develop for a phone, you know what functionality to expect. They're all kind of the same. They're all doing the same thing. Life's quite easy. The wearable market is going to change that. There's going to be a lot of new ideas, new functionality, new features, new form factors. This is a lot to keep up with. How are you going to stay relevant in this market? How are you going to even keep up, let alone stay ahead? And all these different form factors means lots of different input, lots of different output, different sensors. Sensors are being the key thing here. So how do you write a single app to interface with all this? I mean, that's quite a difficult challenge. I mean, writing an app that just uses an accelerometer and touch at the beginning of the mobile market was tricky. This could lead to hundreds of different sensors. How do you cope? And the fourth point is something kind of new now. This is the problem of combinatorics, which is my long word of the day. That's as complicated as it's going to get. So what does that mean? It's the combination of devices. So right now, everyone's got a mobile phone in the pocket and probably not a lot else. So when you develop an app, you develop it as a standalone app for a mobile. But we're going to go into a world where people are going to have 2, 3, 4, 5 devices, who knows how many. We're also going to have the problem of multiple users, multiple devices, multiple primary devices. It's going to get a lot more complicated, and these will all be coming from different hardware manufacturers with different software running on them. This is a big new problem. And finally, the other problem, well, this is just a common problem with development anyway. The more platforms means the more SDKs, the more things you have to learn, the more things you have to install, the more times you have to write hello world and things not work. That's a big cost. It's a big ramp up. And it changed automatically. I didn't even mean to change that. So what is the future of cross-platform with wearables? Like, where are we going to go with this? So abstraction is obviously the thing that cross-platform does already. Abstraction of APIs. So I abstract the same feature into a single generic API. So for example, if you have an accelerometer, rather than having 5 or 6 different interfaces across the device, I give you a generic one, and it gives you access to that accelerometer. But I think in the future for wearables, things are going to be slightly different. So there'll still be the process of abstraction, but it won't quite be as granular. So Harvey mentioned earlier that there was 3 or 4 key features like accelerometer. We've already seen accelerometers coming in a huge different number of ways. So head-mounted sets with, you know, where's the user's head? Is it leaning forward, backwards? An arm-mounted accelerometer. They're all sort of doing the same thing. Now, if I write an app, I might not care about where the person's head is or where their hand is. What I might care about is a gesture from them. I might want to know if they're pointing left, pointing right, pointing up, pointing down. So I think we can expect to see abstraction, but in this sense where we're abstracting similar features, so that I, as a developer, when I'm writing my app, I don't have to worry about the head. I just know that the user's going to give me some sort of input. And then there's the second layer of abstraction. That's kind of the middle layer of how you communicate. I don't want the headache of having to work out, does this device use Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, something new? What protocol is it using? Is it using HTTP? Is it using some specific serialization to that device? So there's going to be the abstraction in the middleware where you abstract the communication process so that I, as a developer, just say, I just want to send an image to the device. So that's going to be the middle section, I think, of cross-platform. And I think ultimately the aim is to be plug and play. Cross-platform already is plug and play to an extent, but I think it's going to be even more important. I want to focus on writing my app. I just want to say, as a developer, I'm going to need some directional input from the user, and I'm going to need some heart rate, and I want to plug in components, and I don't want to have to worry about supporting all the 17, 20, 50 different devices that support this. So I want to be as generic as possible. And finally, the last two, they're just kind of common cross-platform things anyway. I want to reduce exposure to all this custom SDKs, et cetera, stick with development environments I know and keep my development speed up, and have access to a modular system, so reusable code. When a new platform comes along, there isn't the established code base. But if you use cross-platform, there's an established code base already there, and I can just plug in components from existing code. So specifically, I was thinking about how you might integrate, for example, the Samsung gear into Marmalade right now. So I haven't told you much about the workings of Marmalade. I will do very quickly on the next slide, but I'm just going to give you a quick idea of how it might work. So if you've looked at the gear SDK, you'll know there's a Samsung API for communicating with it. It's a Samsung accessory protocol. Very clean, simple API. So how would you integrate that into Marmalade? Well, you'd first go through the process of abstraction. You'd write a simple extension, which gives you, for us, a C API. So that pulls you out of the platform specifics. And then the next point you might or might not do at this point, because if you're just targeting gear, you might not care about this. But you might be more forward-thinking and say, well, hey, I don't want to use the exact same protocol as Samsung. I might want to abstract that away and think, well, maybe I can reuse this on another device that comes later. And this is the bit I was talking about saying, I just want to make statements like push some text, pull some images, and so on. And finally, there's the point about dynamic adaption. So this is something that the Marmalade framework does well already. We've already had to cope with this for mobile devices. But the user might or might not be wearing their gear. You have to make your game, your app, adapt. And that works very well. So, for example, I came up with a couple of ideas, and you're not allowed to steal these because I'm going to make a fortune. So a lot of apps these days are freemium. And if you've played the freemium apps, they have power-ups recharging, and usually the user gets a notification. Or what if they're wearing a gear and the notification appears on their watch? It's like, you're ready to play. Carry on. Another one was just an idea of a multiplayer game where you want to send photos to other players in the game. Well, it's a lot quicker if you've got your gear on. You can just take a photo. Boom, up it goes. So you need your app to adapt depending on the presence. So very briefly to put that into context, so Harvey's already described kind of at a high level what the Marmalade SDK is. So it's conforms to open standards, so you develop in environments you're familiar with, like Visual Studio, Xcode, and SCONS. So that gets around one of the problems I talked about earlier about SDKs increasing and so on and so forth. The open standards, so it's things you're familiar with, standard libraries, STL, POSIX, OpenGLARES 1, 2, and 3, and so on. You develop on desktop, there's a simulator, you compile your code for different architectures, and you push those to lots of different devices, and you're running native codes at full speed. So that's kind of a very, very brief overview of what the SDK does. But the bits that are important, so how do you actually program? How do you get to an API? Well, Marmalade offers a C API, a very simple C API, and out of the box it comes with a load of core functionality, so for things you'd obviously expect to have on a phone, so an accelerometer, a pointer, sockets, like vibration, and so on. But in this world that we're talking about lots of new things coming, you don't want to be stuck with just those APIs. So it's extensible, and this is the bit I'm going to say that word quite a lot, because this is the really important thing in a changing market. You can extend the API. So the Samsung accessory protocol I talked about earlier, there's a framework we have, a simple tool that will just add on a new C API, and it looks exactly like the others. It sits at the same level, and it gives you access to that new platform-specific functionality. Lots of pretty boxes. I'm not going to talk about them all because I'm probably behind time. So I've talked about a bit already. There's only two things I just want to point out. We're not just C++. As Harvey mentioned earlier, we have Objective-C, which is for our porting from Xcode. So you can just plug in an Xcode project, run it through Marmalade, and bam, you get out a Marmalade project. So you can recompile your Objective-C. That's just a by-the-by. We have Lua HTML5 as well. The things I really think are important regarding wearables are the community and the partner network. So already we have a huge base, a huge existing code base of integration, so things like ads, in-app purchases, all the ones that begin with A, analytics, app store, that kind of stuff. There's ones that don't begin with A. Middleware, there's 3D game engine middleware, there's all sorts of stuff in there. That already exists, so if a new platform comes along, you don't have to wait for that to develop, it's already there. And so finally, how's this going to matter for Tizen development, wearables development? So just a couple of quick points. We're C++, and if you've developed for Tizen Mobile yet, you'll know that's C++. So going cross-platform isn't a compromise. You don't have to give up performance. The large existing code base I just mentioned, very important. You don't have to spend money porting. You don't have to wait for that community to develop. It's already there. And the fast lightweight simulator, it's good for developing on slower PCs when you don't have the processing power to run the emulators. And specifically to wearables, I said I was going to mention this word a few times, extensibility. It's going to be so important. Last thing you want to do when a new device hits the market is wait 2 months for an update or someone to write something for you. You want to be able to adapt quickly. So when that new feature comes on the market or one of those from the list and suddenly, or the ones you were talking about, the carbon dioxide monitor or whatever, suddenly they become important and you need access to that. So you're going to need that extensibility to react quickly and try it cheaply and quickly and see if users like it in your app. And finally, the last one, cross-platform has already solved part of the combinatorics problem. There's my big word again, so you remember me leaving on a big word. The host devices are already cross-platform. You don't have to worry about that end of the combinations. And hopefully with all the other pieces, you can reduce that headache and get on with writing good apps and not worry about plugging how you cope with all the different devices. And that's me. So I'll be around afterwards for technical questions, but I'll hand back over to Harvey.
Thank you, Andrew. Right, so, yes, got this radio thing. You may not know, they showed in the showcase keynote yesterday morning, Beyond Space was built with Marmalade SDK for Tizen, so it won the grand prize, had a big cash sum, $100K or $200K, one of the two, large amounts of money anyway, paid the food bills that I was talking about, and looks fantastic, and it really pushes the hardware, and they got to that very quickly by bringing their existing application across and bringing it into Marmalade. And also The Real, which is won the News Sports and Weather winner, also a grand prize winner, again built with Marmalade. And what that really is just to reinforce is the diversity of our technology and what it can enable people to do. And from here, of course, they can integrate to wearables and other experiences. Also got a runner-up. I didn't win the role-playing and strategy category. It was beaten by something, I can't remember which, but Bun Wars from FirePlus team also did really well. So we're in and we're running, and I think we've seen coming up to 1,000 apps built with Marmalade for the Tizen platforms. So we certainly know the tech that's there. I want to give you a couple of quick conclusions, although, of course, you're welcome to ask questions or even draw your own. From what we've seen as a platform at Tizen, the fact it's fast, it's a very slim OS, it isn't filled up with bloatware, it really lends itself to moving beyond traditional devices that carry more power from phones and tablets and onwards. We have seen that smartphone market standardize, as Andrew described, but it's taken almost 7 years to see that sort of plateauing of feature set, and now we're looking at little enhancements and little details. Wearables is hugely fragmented now, and it's going to be hugely fragmented as it gets to this sort of the volume that we're expecting over the next few years. But it's a huge market. If we can hit 90 million devices across everything this year, that's a phenomenal market that we need to be able to take advantage of. And managing that complexity of those devices, if you're focusing on that, you're not worrying about your core app. So let us worry about the complexity, and you should worry about your core experience. And between us, I think we can make something very compelling and very enjoyable. So what do you need to do today? Well, just come up with a fantastic idea, a fantastic experience that's enhanced by wearables but not driven by them. That explosion, that activity in wearables is happening now, and if you can be part of it, you can really stand out, and I think that's something to be very proud of. Keep your apps future-proof and flexible, so don't write to the one specific API of a very specific device that you think will absolutely rule the world in gaming, because it may well not. And keep yourself as flexible as possible so that as new devices come to the market, you can adapt to them quickly and rapidly and get your content out onto those channels. Our framework, of course, will help you do that, but you can also work really well within a community and look at what other developers are doing and ask for advice and support. My Marmalade pitch is you can use Marmalade to do all of these things without compromising on performance. And from today, we have a free license that everyone's entitled to use. Log onto our website and download it, and my team will hand you a leaflet as you leave, just in case you want to know all about it. And come and visit us in the tech showcase. We're downstairs in the lobby, over to the left-hand side. Look for two very large pull-up blue banners with the Marmalade logo. That's the blue Bob. And we'll happily, not Bob, he's Blob, but anyway, happily talk to you about anything in the SDK. Thank you very much.